You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
I have sat in boardrooms with Lord Sugar. I literally deal with massive corporate brands every single day, yet I come back and get beaten by my three-year-old about him wanting to watch Paw Patrol. I don't know how this works. I can't win. I just can't win. Do you know what I mean? I've even started... When he throws his little tantrum, which he started doing now, I go down to his level and I go, Emery, I'm not having that, mate. That's been very, very naughty. And he goes, no, Daddy, you're naughty. I'm just like, I can't win.
Welcome, everybody. Wendy, how are you doing? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you today?
I can't, because this is a positive podcast. I can't. I'm still in, I know this may air at a slightly different time, but I'm still in post-tonsil removal doom in my house. So there's tears and there's snot and there's cowpole and I'm not getting any sleep, and let's move on. How are you? How's your week been?
In sharp contrast, I'm loving life. It's sunny where I am today, and my child was on the brink, or one of my children was on the brink of maybe not going to school today. She has got a bit of a cough. I was like, oh, is she going to make it? And she brightened up.
Bonus.
And she was fine and she went in. And I just feel like I'm actually winning.
Well, you are clearly smashing life and I am being smashed, which leads us nicely to our guest today. Give us the intro.
Yes, we're joined today by entrepreneur, star of The Apprentice, and author of Graft, How to Smash Life. When he's not grafting and smashing life, Tom Skinner is a dad of three, including baby twins. And I know what that's like. That's a graft in itself. Tom, a massive welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
You know how we are. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I just told you I've been shoved in this little box all day, but I'm all right. I'm bearing up all right. I've got a bit of water in front of me.
Tom is joining us from a cupboard in East London, ladies and gents.
Yep, I am.
Now, straight off, here we go. Which is harder, charming Lord Sugar on The Apprentice, raising three kids, two of whom are twins?
Raising three kids, 1,000,000%. Lord Sugar was easy. Do you know what I mean? That weren't even hard. That was good fun.
Oh, but, he's a bit scary, though.
No, he's not. He's honestly, he is like your little old uncle. You know, like, he's all right. He's like, he's good stuff. Do you know what I mean? He's a nice bloke. And I was lucky I got on well with him. But yeah, three under three is easy, hard work.
Yeah. I mean, you have said, though, that it was like winning the lottery when you find out that you were having twins. What's been the best thing about fatherhood so far?
Just like loads of things. I mean, one of my I work 7 days a week, so my favourite thing is dinner time and bedtime, because obviously I leave the house at 3:40 in the morning. So when I get back, I love, like, Henry started helping me cook, you know what I mean? Like, doing a bit of dinner and things like that. And it's nice to sit around a table, have the twins there while they're throwing it all at the walls and don't care, you know, and just relax. And I love bedtime, to have a little cuddle, put a bit of telly on and put in the bed. That's my favourite time, you know what I mean? Yes, it's brilliant. Being a dad's the best thing in the world.
You had three under three for a while there, which is commendable. No mean feat, Tom. Well done. What skills did you learn way back as a market trader that came in handy?
None. It was all, nothing prepared me for that. I mean, but my wife, I'm not going to lie, I can't take any credit. It is literally all my wife. She's, I don't know how she does it, honestly. Like, even, we had a big thunderstorm last night. Yeah. I've never seen nothing like it. Like, all three babies have been under the weather this week with diarrhea and sickness bug. And, like, the thunder was going, the sick was coming out, and there was a lot of screaming, and I just literally pretended I couldn't hear anything, and I hid under me.
You can't do that!
You're that bad, are you?
And I don't normally do that, but I knew I was going to get shoved in a cupboard for 14 hours today. So,
well, yeah, cupboard versus, at least you're not in the cupboard covered in vomit. It could be worse. Imagine the smell.
I'm thinking that, you know, the art of negotiation, which I'm sure you're pretty good at, that must come in handy with a toddler, right?
Yeah, but I have sat in boardrooms with Lord Sugar. I literally deal with massive corporate brands every single day. Yet I come back and get beaten by my 3-year-old about him wanting to watch Paw Patrol. I don't know how this works. I can't win. I just can't win. Do you know what I mean? I've even started, when he throws his little tantrum, which he started doing now, I go down to his level and I go, Emery, I'm not having that, mate. That's been very, very naughty. And he goes, no, Daddy, you're naughty. I'm just like...
Well, now I'm stuffed.
I can't win.
So do you have, like, a fave dad moment? Is there a moment that stands out? I'm guessing being vomited on isn't it. You know, is there a moment that stands out as the thing that you think, oh, yeah, well, this is a bit good?
I'll tell you one of the maddest stories. Do you want to hear the twins' birth story?
Oh, yeah, please tell us about this, because I have heard that it's crazy.
Well, this is a crazy story. So West Ham United basically rung me up and said, Tom, we would like you to manage West Ham in America for a $1 million tournament. And I went, but I've never managed or played football in my life. Why do you want me? And I said, look, we're trying to get the Americans into Premier League football. West Ham, all the ex-players are going out there. We want you to be big, good PR and be the manager. You'd be great. You'd be great. You're very positive. Honestly, you'd be fine. All the team are with you. So I went, fantastic. So gone to my wife. Look, babe, do you mind if I go to North Carolina for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? And she's like, well, yeah, when is it? I said, it's the 30th of March to the 2nd of June or something, like, or 5th of June. She's gone, yeah, but I'm going to be 6 months pregnant with our twins. So I said, well, if you don't want me to go, you know, don't mind West Ham, I won't go. Honestly, I don't mind, you know, but I would like to go. But if you don't want me to go, I won't. And she went, no, do you know what? She went, you go. My sister will come and stay for the few days while you're away. So, boss, off I go on a plane to America. I've never been to America before in my life. First time, I'm with all the West Ham players. We get there. Second day there, I'm on ESPN News. Like, no one has a clue. Like, no one in America has a clue who West Ham are. Like, no one. Like, but we're in this big tournament, and we're setting up, we're getting ready. And in that evening, I'm 5 hours ahead. Ring my wife and say, look, I'm about to go to bed now. The tournament starts tomorrow. How are you feeling? She went, oh, I'm brilliant, fantastic. Me and my sister have been making cakes with Emery all day. Like, I've got to go to the hospital in the morning for a routine checkup because they're twins, they're a little bit higher risk, but it's going to make sure everything's all right. Then book in my cesarean for like a month's time or 6 weeks' time, whatever it is. So I said, oh, well, give me a call when you're there. Boom, boom, boom. I've got up, put the West Ham manager's kit on, started getting ready, gone down for breakfast. As I've gone back to the room to get my boots, my wife's rung me. Now, I'm about, what am I, six, I don't know, I'm in front. No, I'm behind.
You're
you,
behind.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I've got the hours right. I'm behind. So yeah. I'm breakfast time, and it's about 1 o'clock England time. So Sinead rings me as I'm getting my boots to leave for the tournament, and she can't get a word out. She's literally hysterics. I'm like, well, calm down. What's the matter? And she's had to put the doctor on. She's like, this doctor, this doctor went to me and she went, Tom, we've got a bit of situation. Sinead's coming for a routine check. We're not happy. Twin A has drawn all the nutrients from Twin B. We're going to have to do an emergency C-section within the next 24 hours. If we don't, like, there's a 90% chance you're going to lose Twin B. And I was like, what? Like, well, okay, I don't know what to do. They went, and I mean, it can happen, but you could potentially lose your wife. This is quite a serious, she's out of the room now, it's quite a serious operation.
So, can I ask, was it twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome? Do you know?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know.
From what you're explaining, it sounds like that's so dangerous. Like, you're right, mum can die, both twins can die. It's like proper scary.
But I'm 5,000 miles away. I'm told that my wife's literally going to have to go into surgery in the next 24 hours, like a lot sooner. I didn't know what to do. So I said, I sort of had this sort of weird moment where I said, put her on the phone. I said, Sinead, do what the doctors tell you. You'll be fine. Relax. I'm coming home now. And I rung my mum, I rung my dad, I rung my mates. I've got everything sorted out. I've got people that go and pick up Henry from nursery. I don't know what happened. It sort of become like this like sorting things out. And I was trying not to get emotional, but I just, but then I've walked down the stairs, and as I've come down, the bus is waiting for the whole West Ham squad. I've just burst into tears because obviously I don't know what's happening. But the boys, the West Ham boys, look at Tom. It's the best day of his life. He's managing West Ham. He's crying wrecking us. I went, no, you f***ing idiots. It's like, no, I need to go home like that. I literally got on the bus and I said, look, when I get to the stadium, I'm going to have to go to the airport. And as I've got to the stadium, I couldn't find a cab to get to the airport. So I had to pay a man driving a school bus to get me to the airport. It was the only way I could get there because he's in the middle of nowhere. And he was like, he literally was like, look, man, for family, I'll do anything. I was like, good, there's $200. And when I've got to the airport, this is a true story. I said to the man, look, can you please wait there for 10 minutes? Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a flight. I'm in North Carolina. I've run into this airport and there's a massive queue. And some man, I don't know, he must have sensed I was not in a good way. He went, you look like you're in trouble, son. Come in front of me. So I got to the front of the queue and I'm saying, look, any flight back to London, I don't care what it costs, I don't know where, I just need the next flight. And there was like literally no flights. And the only one they had was if I flew from North Carolina to Philadelphia, wait 50 minutes, then fly from Philadelphia to Heathrow. So I said, I'll have it. And then they've gone, but it's not for another 3 hours. So I'm like, oh my God. Well, I've booked it, bang. Well, I've got 3 hours to kill. I've rung Sinead. She's like, look, they're getting me ready for surgery. And I was like, oh my God, right. I've spoke to her sister. Her sister was having a breakdown going, we're going to lose. I went, shut up. You ain't going to lose her. Like, they're just saying that. It can't happen, yeah? So now I've got the sister having a breakdown, my wife having a breakdown, and I'm in North Carolina. So what did I do? I got back on the bus. I got 3 hours to kill. I swear my life is true. Went back to the stadium, managed the first half of the game. I run in there. I give the best motivational speech to my team in the world. Look, let's do this, my wife, guys. Bang, 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 bang. We got battered 4-2. I went back to the airport. I went back, got on the plane, and as I was going through security on the first plane, Siobhan rings me, Sinead's sister, and goes, Tom, she's got, like, it's all happening now. I said, all right, okay, don't worry. She went, oh, my God, there's 10 doctors gone in there. Oh, my God. And she was having a breakdown. I went, listen, Siobhan, shut up, mate. Like, I'll be home in a minute. She's going to be fine. I'm then in a hysterics of tears. I've got on this plane in America. I've got a text from Siobhan of these two tiny, three-pound, beautiful little twins in this... They've been born in this incubator. I'm like... She's like, the twins are here. They're not great, but they're here, yeah? I've texted back, how's Sinead? The plane's taken off. I don't know if my wife's will have. This is the first plane. I've done 45-minute flight to Philadelphia. As we're coming to land, now I've been told I've only got 50 minutes to get from one side through security to the other side of the airport to get the London flight. As we come to land, the captain gives it a brace on the thing, has to take off again and do a go around because another plane was on the runway. I don't know if my wife's alive. I'm literally I'm holding some old woman's hand who's like, it's good, like she's praying for me. She's literally going, I'm praying for you. I'm telling her what's happening. We've now landed in Philadelphia. I've run off the plane, straight on the phone. They're like, look, Sinead's okay. She's not awake. She's in recovery, but both twins are here. They're not out of the woods. They're going to check on them every half hour. They're in the ICU, in whatever it's called. Sinead's out cold, but she's steady. I thought, okay, well, look, I'm going to be... I'm going to be eight and a half hours.
Did you have a drink at that point?
Well, I remember this. When I got to the queue, like, to get on the second plane, that it was like a big, long queue, and I was the last person to queue because I just made it, and there was this lady on there. She went, you okay? And I went, can I upgrade? I just went, can I just upgrade? I just need to... I upgraded my flight, and I sat there, and I got on the plane, and I remember this. I had a steak, a bottle of red wine... And then when I landed, I'd be mate outside. He took me straight to the hospital. when I got to this one, my wife was obviously asleep. I'll give her a kiss, give her a cuddle. And these two little tiny, tiny, beautiful babies was in these incubators. They were so small. And I sat there and I just looked at them, right? And I'm looking, I've got my, bear in mind, I've still got my West Ham manager's kit on, right? And I'm just looking at them. And I'm looking at them. And all of a sudden, my phone starts ringing, ringing, ringing. And I was like, because it's the morning the next day now. I've answered it. It's one of her sisters. Tommy, you going to come back home? I was like, no, there's like, you've been sitting up the hospital for 8 hours. You've been sitting there for hours. I didn't even realise I was in such a trance. No way. But I've just been looking at them, staring at them. Oh, yeah, bloody. And I went home, and I remember getting home, cuddling my little boy. And then my wife was let out a few days later. And then the twins, they was in there a long time, a few weeks. And then, yeah, it was a long, long time. And then they come out, and then now they're healthy. They're starting to walk now, and they're driving me mad. It's all good.
What's the best? I mean, that's just an incredible story. Oh, my goodness. What was it like then when you were first able to hold the twins? Like, because I'm guessing to begin with, they were in the incubator and weren't able to give them a cuddle. What was it like?
Oh, it's the best thing ever. I remember going there with Sinead, and I don't know why it took me shirt off. I was like, I want to do it.
They say that, don't they? For skin to skin. It's good for the babies.
Yeah, and I mean, they still had I'll try and find a picture. They had little tubes up their nose and their throat, bless them, and they had little mittens because they were so small, and they just looked like little bags of bones. They were so small. And I could put them in a cup of my hand. They were so little, you know, like... And I just remember that first little cuddle, and I was like, oh, I had both of them. And I just remember cuddling them thinking, this is what, how lucky am I to, and my wife, what a trooper, like to do that. I wouldn't have been able to do what she done. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll get a paper cut and I'll start crying. So like,
you were busy doing the wacky races across the United States of America in a bid to get home. So,
yeah.
Totally changing the subject after, quite frankly, the best birth story ever. I've never yet heard a best birth story that starts with West Ham United, for starters. First words of a birth story. So, West Ham United. Let's talk. Random question. Let's talk about Rylan for a minute. You've known him since you were a teenager.
Rylan.
I'd quite like to know him. Yeah. I think he's lovely. And you were nearly...
He's a knob.
He's a knob.
Don't believe you. I mean, I'd quite like to know. I mean, I'm quite jealous that you're friends with Rylan, but also you were very nearly in TOWIE, weren't you? Did you think you were always destined for reality TV in some form?
No, I'll honest you, I never wanted to get into TV. It's just a mad thing that happened. My wife actually applied me to go on apprentice because I've literally sold my whole life out of the back of vans, and I'm good at it, you know? And she said, look, and I had a little pillow business, and she filled out a form, and they accepted me, and I wasn't sure whether to do it or not. And I've done it, and it's probably the best thing that ever happened, you know? Like, it's done us really, really well. So, but going back to Rylan, he's all right, you know what I mean? He's a good friend of ours, and I'll tell you some funny stories about him, because he is Mr. Show Business, right? He is.
Oh, really?
And a little while ago, we are up in Soho, in to Italy, having dinner. Me, my wife, Kimberly and Rylan, and we're all sitting in there, and we're having a few drinks, getting drunk, and he's bought a bottle of champagne, put a sparkle in it, and got the old restaurant to sing happy birthday, just being a prick, right? They're having a laugh. Aww. And it wasn't my birthday. We've gone outside to have a cigarette, me and him, and we're having a cheeky cigarette. And bear in mind, we are in like Rylan's headquarters, middle of Soho, the gay capital of London. Everyone knows him around there. Like, he's in that GAY 15 times a month, right? And he's got me sitting there, market trade next to him, one of his good pals, and I'm like, they all know you, right? He's like, they all know me round here, Tom. I'm a bit of a face round here. I was like, shut up, Rylan, right? Anyway, there's a group of lads walking down the middle aisle, yeah, with all the rainbow flags, the lot, right? This is Rylan's mob, yeah? And they are looking at us like this. And Rylan goes, elbows me and goes, I get this all the time. Watch this, right? They've come steaming over. This is true. Rylan talks about this as well. They've come steaming over and gone, Tom, we love you. We love Dino's calf. Can we have a photo? and then gone, Ryland, do you mind taking the picture? And his face was like, oh.
That's so good. Oh, that's brilliant. Yes. Now, speaking of the calf and food, you famously eat roast dinners or like pie mash, those sort of things for breakfast.
Yep.
Why do you do that? And do you think that's the secret to your success?
I've got some serious issues. That is literally... So I'm a market trader. I get up 3-4 in the morning. We go to a calf in East London called Dino's Calf. And when you're out in the cold, loading up lorries in the warehouse, like you've done a day's work before you have your breakfast. So a little bacon roll or a bowl of porridge ain't going to fill you up. So me and all the boys, we have a chicken curry or a spicy Korean noodle with poached eggs, chicken breast. And we don't stop, to be fair.
That's bold. Now, talking of food.
I'll bring the banner. You'll love it.
Okay, deal. My favourite... one of your Instagram posts is the one where you are covered in spaghetti hoops. And dear listener, when I say covered, this man, the man's been swimming in spaghetti hoops. And this is all the result of what your gorgeous twin girls have done. Tell me, are meal times a bit of a stress in your house?
Well, I'll just tell you about a spaghetti incident.
Spaghetti gate.
One of the babies, yes, one of the babies threw like 4 spaghetti hoops on me. It wasn't that bad, but it was on my T-shirt. Then my little boy decided to throw all the spaghetti hoops on me. And then my wife decided to pour the bowl on my head. That is what happened. So
right.
I just got terrorised by my family. It's normally what happens. And everyone thinks it's hilarious. And I sit there and I literally, I had slippers on. And I'm just going to sound so disgusting. But like the next day when I put my slippers on, I put my foot in it. There's all spaghetti hoops on my slipper.
I hate spaghetti hoops. So that's making me gag.
All between my toes.
Do you know, my brother-in-law made so many spaghetti hoops growing up that he started to be ever so slightly tinged orange, because that was all he'd eat. Yeah.
No.
Can you imagine? I can't even eat one spaghetti hoop.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Apparently so. Anyway, sorry.
Even the Sunday.
Much cheaper.
But we know, Tom, that like for many parents, myself included, that we often rely on like processed food for quick, stress-free dinners, and it's not ideal. But you are a bit of a foodie. Like you were on MasterChef, weren't you? Do you have any tips for feeding kids with fast but nutritious food?
Yeah, actually, I've been doing a little bit of research. You know, British Lion eggs, that lovely little stamp you get on your eggs, yeah? Literally doing some research, they've found out that it's something like, one in 3 parents now cook the same food over and over again, and nearly half of all parents have stopped cooking home-cooked meals. So they're going to the freezer aisles, they're getting turkey Twizzlers and chicken nuggets, pizzas, and I know they're easy. I know it's easy, yeah? But look, I'm lucky. I introduced my three to all different types of food so that when they get older, they'll eat anything. I eat everything. My wife hardly eats anything because she was brought up on the same foods, yeah? But as well, people forget about eggs. Like, we must go through so many eggs in our house, but they're so cheap, right? They're full of nutrition and you can do anything. Like dinner time, I'll get Henry to help me do a bit of cooking. Like I do this dish, it's going to sound dirty, right? But it's tuna, boiled egg and pasta, a bit of butter. It costs about 15.
All mixed in?
All mixed. It's fantastic.
No, that does sound good, actually.
And do your kids eat it?
Like, yeah, this and like what my bit of advice is, because dinner time's my time, is get little Henry involved in the cooking and then he wants to eat it afterwards. Like, you know what I mean? And honestly, look at getting eggs everywhere because it's just so easy.
The winner when my kids were little was eggy bread. Eggy bread was the, if they'll only eat bread, make eggy bread because at least it's got a bit of nutrients in it then. Now I want eggy bread. Oh.
Yeah, I could do that as well.
Yeah, well, you're in a cupboard, tough. You can't have any.
Yeah, I know, I'm not allowed out of the cupboard. They've stabbed me in the cupboard all day.
It's lunchtime, Tom. Are they going to feed you in a minute? Are you going to get eggs?
No, they're horrible.
Right, let's get back to Mr. Sugar. Now, he's gone into politics, Mr. Sugar. He's in the Lords. Is that your plan? What do you reckon? Is the government crying out for a little bit of Tom?
No, I've been asked to, well, no, I've not been asked, but I get asked a lot to be London mayor. I mean, I know nothing about politics. I get asked all the time to be London mayor. But there's two things that I try and stay away from, and that is religion and politics, because you just upset someone. So, everyone's got different views and everyone's got different beliefs, and I feel that, I'm going to stick to selling beds and mattresses and then we market stalls and making a few people laugh and having a few beers with Ryland. I don't think I can see myself in the House of Lords.
I think politics could do with a bit of Tom Skinner. Imagine.
Well, I'll just tell everyone to say, stop being lazy, stop moaning.
I can see you being Prime Minister. I mean, when you think about it, with the cost of living crisis and childcare being enough to bankrupt us, you know, and let's not even get started on the state of maternal care. But, you know, so many parents are just despairing at the state of the country. If you were Prime Minister, what would you do?
If I wasn't Prime Minister?
If you were.
I'd just be...
If
you were, I'd just be myself, wouldn't I? I'd just be... No,
So if you were Prime Minister, not if you were.
If I was Prime Minister, what would I do? Well, it's a difficult one, really. I mean, I'd probably look at, because obviously the problem is not enough housing, look at housing massively. I think I would definitely get rid of this ULEZ, and especially around London, this ULEZ is a tax on the working class. Like, people go, no, it's making the air clearer. No, it's not. People seem to go to work, go to school, they're just having to pay for it. Same cars are going in and out of London. It's just an absolute tax on normal people. And I think I would support small businesses, SMEs, because what people forget is these independent coffee shops, independent bakeries, independent businesses, their taxes are what pay for the things like the NHS, like that protect the roads, you know, the public sector, our nurses, our policemen. They're all funded by the small businesses of the UK and their tax money. And we're losing them at an alarming rate. Less small businesses are set up every single year and have been for the last 10 years, yeah? And once they all shut down and we lose them, when we're all going to these big corporations, we're all buying online from these massive companies that send all their tax abroad, there won't be no free healthcare, there won't be no policemen, there won't be no ambulance drivers, because there'll be no money. So we really need to look at that. And I think as well, I think I'd just get a grip on this cost of living crisis. Now, I understand that there's food shortages with farming in the UK and we're having to buy abroad, and I understand that. But I think we need to sort of maybe educate people on how to feed their kids, because I promise you now, I work on a market stall and I can feed myself off of a market for under a pound. You can go on any greengrocer, you can get a nutritional meal, but no money. Yet we're thinking, oh, we have to go to the freezer aisle to get cheap food. It's not cheap and it's not good for you, you know, so I think educate people into how to cook, how to eat, and how to find out eggs again, you know, eggs, fruit and veggies. It can be affordable food and it doesn't have to be a frozen pizza. And also I think I would help the Great British Pub, because pubs again are another one that are dying at an alarming rate. And listen, we've got a pandemic in the UK. With mental health, especially in men, you know, and it's because pubs are shutting down and blokes can't afford a pint on a Friday night, just one or two pints, and sit there and go, and even if you had a bad week, I've had a right bad week this week, it's great for your mental health. Without them pubs, and I'd put a bit of funding into youth care. I'm trying to do it now. I own a boxing gym. I'm doing this anti-knife crime campaign. I've spent £20,000 of my own money already this year. Listen, we've had a cut of knives handed in. It ain't enough, you know, but I've spoken to the local council, I've spoken to the local police. They haven't got any funding. They haven't got any money. They can't help. So I'll carry on spending my own money, but how long can I do that for, you know? And we need to sort of find something for the youth from the age of 13 to 17, where they're too cool to go to the park or out with mum and dad, but they're not quite old enough to get a job or go to pubs. So we need to look after the young adults, the teenagers of this world, because they're the future, and there's a knife crime pandemic. They don't know what they want to do. We need to be role models for these kids, and we need to look after them. We need to stand up. And it ain't their fault they're getting into trouble. It's our fault, really, because we ain't getting our word out there and pushing for them. That's the truth.
Well, I think you convinced us. You don't need to go into politics.
Definitely. I think London Mayor. You could do a lot of good shit as London Mayor, Tom.
Yeah, but you know what would happen? I'd end up knocking someone out and it'd all be over. I'd end up knocking out another politician, wouldn't I?
Front page of the Standard.
Yeah, you don't want that. But you do seem like such a positive person, and we know that you're a grafter. Do you think that's, you know, the fact that you're not afraid of hard work is what makes you love being a dad so much? Because it is hard work, but do you get just stuck into the hard bits and enjoy the really good bits?
Yeah, look, listen, like, again, me and my wife are like a team, yeah, like I'm not going to lie to you. The nappy changing ratio between me and my wife is like 90-10. Like, borderline 95-5, I'm not going to lie to you. But yeah, I think, look, like we get stuck in, we work as a team, I graft and I'm like, it's just, I just get on with it, you know? Like, as I said earlier, all three of my babies have been sick all week, and taking the intern to check on the babies and change them when it's covered in sick, bless them. It's been a bit of a tough week. That's why I look so rough today, because I've had no sleep. But that's what you do as mums and dads. That's what you do as parents, don't you? Your kids come first and you work hard to support them. That's why we're on this planet.
Oh, Tom, thank you for coming to talk to us. You have made my afternoon. It's been lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
And I really hope they let you out of the cupboard at some point soon.
They're not going to let me out of this f***ing cupboard.
Bye, Tom.
Thank you so much, Tom.
See you later, guys. Thank you.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on all social channels, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in Netmums and you'll find us. And if you liked what you've heard today, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share the podcast on all your socials.